if you've ever woken up on a Sunday morning and thought, woo, Sunday, and then you go, oh, no, church. You're thinking, what kind of excuses can I think of not to go to church today? I didn't see any hands up, which is a really encouraging sign for me. Thanks for that. Did hear that story of the mother desperately trying to get her son out of bed on a Sunday morning. Come on, you've got to get up, we've got to be late, come on, you've got to get up, come on, up, it's going to be late, have some breakfast, it's going to be late for church, And the son goes, oh, Mum, do I have to? She says, yes, you do. You're the vicar. And then assuming you do make it to church, once you're here, hands up, that's a good hands up thing. Do you ever think, what am I here for? What is this all about? Or perhaps when you get home and you think to yourself, what was that all about? What's the point? Why come? And have you ever at all, ever, stick around and stay away? And hopefully we'll find an answer this morning. I have two passages of scripture. The first, text, Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 24. I'm going to read around those verses and just bring them into context. Your Bible, please open it. If you haven't, it looks like Russell's diving to get some, so raise your hand and Russell will pass you on. With the word therefore. The old saying goes, if you see the word therefore, you ask, what's it there for? And it's there because the writer to the Hebrews has just spent 9.5 chapters laying Christological foundations, the study of Christ. To these readers who are Hebrew people, in other words, they're Jewish people, who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's been covering ground like, who is Christ? How does he fit into the whole of the Old Testament scheme of things? How does he complete the Old Testament scheme of things? Why did Christ come? What are the effects of his death and resurrection? It's the full works. And he's excited, you can tell as he writes this letter, he's excited about who Christ is. And so he begins, therefore, because of all this, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most, and watch out, there are two senses, there are four letters, and there's one letters not. Okay, so watch out, these are all consequences of this Christological foundation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more, as you see the day approaching. So you see, our faith centres around Jesus. Now that's obvious. You don't need to come here for me to tell you that. Because of him, the first since, we have entry into the presence of God. It's amazing, we weren't there before in our sinful nature. We have no right to be in the through faith in Christ, who's opened the gate to heaven, we have access to this presence of God. So by the way, there's one reason for coming together to church every Sunday, morning and evening, and on a Tuesday night when you're asked to worship God. Secondly, because, this is the second sense, because he's a great priest over the house of God, which is still the name of the church, he's a priest, he's a bridge between God and the people. Here's another reason, isn't it, to come together. Because Christ somehow draws us into the presence of God, as we've said, but there's a communication thing going on. We can speak to God, and he speaks to us. We speak in prayer, he speaks through his word. Then the letters. Let us draw near to God. So that's why we come. We're cleansed, we're forgiven, we're purified, and we come with assurance of that faith. But there's a real certainty here of why we come. You know, cleansed, forgiven. So we praise God. Second letter is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we have in Christ. So there's assurance of faith, there's assurance of hope. And thirdly, and just as importantly, there's this group of three letters, if we make the negative one positive. Consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds, continue to meet together, and encourage one another, and all the more as the day approaches. The first letter is faith in Christ, the second letter is hope in Christ, and the third letter is just as importantly, you're hearing this, it's just as important as our faith and our hope is our love for each other. Here it is. Here's the answer to our question. What is church all about? Why am I here? It's that alongside our worship, alongside the teaching, alongside our prayer, alongside our opportunities to get right with God, equally as important is this command to help each other to live out our faith. There you go, I've said it. To help each other to live out our faith. Now you know, we are responsible, each of us is responsible for each other's well-being in the Lord. That's what should get us out of bed on a Sunday morning. The thought that your brother and sister needs you and your encouragement as they face work tomorrow or other challenges in the week ahead, or because they're struggling with their faith or their relationships with people perhaps, or their health, or, you know, whatever it might be. It's each of our responsibility to encourage each other along these lines. We try to work out our faith with our love. And I just point this out. This isn't my job or the elder's job any more than it is your job. Each other. We encourage each other. So if you read through these verses, it's just so simple. But there are three C's about church. So I have this flash of insight, if you dwell on it. By this, well, nice. You can't be encouraged, or you can't encourage others if you're not here. So the first C is come. Verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now look. At the time of writing, things were a bit different for these Christians than perhaps they are for us today. There was fierce persecution going on against these Christians from the Roman Empire, who were trying to stamp out all sorts of secret societies and subversive elements within the society. There's a temptation at times like that, and I'm sure we understand it, to lay low, to go into hiding, to become secret Christians. And the writer's saying, you know, actually, greater encouragement will be found to go on with our faith in these difficult times if we come together. That's how we'll encourage one another to stand firm and to stand fast. Now, it's not the same for us. Our temptations to stay away from church are different. We have busy lifestyles, and we argue with that, it's time for family, or me time, or whatever it might be. We're on the trees, on the telly, sometimes on a Sunday, there's tennis, there's football, and do you know, there's work, and work isn't just 9 to 5 anymore, so if you want to know, we have to put hours into work at weekends and stuff like that. Sometimes, though, we just can't be bothered. And if a lot of the Sunday school rota, I'm a lot on the coffee rota, I'm a lot on the set up and set down rota, I'm a lot on the sound rota, and we're getting excited at this point, I'm a lot on the welcome team rota, I'm a lot on the music team rota, actually we might just say to ourselves, I could have worn it off this morning. But these aren't reasons for coming to church. They are, but they're not the reason for coming to church. The reason is, your brothers and sisters need you to encourage them in their faith. So, come. Secondly, contribute. Now, I just said, just being here is an encouragement to others, and that is true. But the sense of these words here, these verbs here, go beyond the passive. You know, just being here is a, I know it's an action, being here, but it's, you can sit here and it's passive. This goes beyond that into active, indeed proactive. A call to encourage one another and to spur one another on. It's about doing something to encourage our brothers and sisters. It's about taking action to encourage our brothers and sisters. And it's not about being here and waiting or expecting for others to come to you to encourage you. Sometimes we need to hear that. Over the years, you know, I've visited people, churches that I've belonged to, perhaps their attendance has dropped off, and sometimes they say, well, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of church anymore. And you know, the reason, usually, broad brushstrokes here, I know, is that these folks aren't putting anything in to church. There's a scientific formula, something like no scientist. For every action, there's an equal and something or other reaction. In other words, what you put into the equation is what comes out inside. There's a magic formula, isn't there? You know, you get out what you put in. There's a spiritual formula. It is in encouraging that you will find encouragement. So let me say this apologetically almost, because I know I'm not the greatest of encourager all the time to some of you. But if you're feeling on the edge at Saltisford Church, if no one talks to you at the end at coffee time, and you feel neglected and uncared for, can I just gently encourage you? Take a deep breath, screw up your courage, and go along, go and stand along, or sit alongside someone else who actually may be encouraging. Contribute. Meeting together thing is about formal meetings. That's what the word means. It's about church. So come to church and contribute in church. But we can broaden that. It's about small groups. You need to belong to small groups to encourage one another. Different levels of our being together. Twos and threes, praying together, studying together. Contribute. The third thing is consider. Because in our text, verse 24, the primary verb, it's like this English language, primary verb is consider. So consider. In other words, give some serious thought to. And a word that I hate, and some of you know I hate this word, plan. Plan what? Give some serious thought to what? How we may spur one another on towards love and beauty. Now you may think that spur, it's a great Scouse word, and spare. A and spur one another on. It's just another word for encourage. And it is, but with an edge. Cowboys, this is going to be hard to say for me to scout again, cowboys wear spurs. wear theirs. Wear spurs. Get them. Why do they wear? Why have they got these pointy things on their shoes? You know why, don't you? To encourage their horses to run faster and to work hard. How do we translate that into church life? Well, first we're going to go and buy some. But it's about stirring one another up, isn't it? It's about challenging one another. It's about sparking off one another to love and good deeds. Love and good deeds. You know, again, on the one hand, talking about acts of kindness, and we've heard about having a perfect illustration for the sermon. Thank you, Val, Rodman. Organising it. Acts of kindness, acts of caring, acts of thoughtfulness, so that we all might feel warm and cozy and cared for and safe and secure in our lovely church every Sunday morning. That's clearly not what is meant here. And it's not what we're going to home in on now either. Because this series that we're in, the final one today, is entitled What Would Jesus Do? WWJD. We have a gospel passage to help us, and you'll find that in Luke and chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Why is that? What's the sort of sin for? The reason we're here, the reason we gather, is not to be pew fodder, not to make a spoon food to you, not so that the musicians can bless you. And you go out all blessed up. We're here to bless one another, to encourage one another, to stir one another up, to spur one another on to the work the Lord has called us to. Now, how did Jesus spur on his disciples towards love and good deeds? Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. After this, the Lord appointed 70 or 72 others. Sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God. So what's Jesus' considered way of spurring on his disciples, and through them us? Well, he sends us out. You notice, he designed this door purposely. It opens out. Hey, Rachel. How about others as well? And that one, no, I've never did. So don't use that one. Then it opens out. Not in. It's great when we long to see people come to church, and we're really delighted when they do. But the door is there and it opens out for us to go out. Now, you're thinking, not all of us here, just 70 or 72 of this planet. Not all of us. Not all of us are called to go out, some of us are called to be in. Oh no. 70 or 72. Well, the early manuscripts are mixed. I think the LAB comes down on numbers and says 72. But actually other scholars will tell you it should be 70. This is the reason why it should be 70. Because 70 is a symbolic number. And symbolic for two reasons. Firstly, back in the Old Testament, and those who knew the Old Testament, particularly those that Jesus was talking to, knew that Moses chose 70 people to sort of manage his new management system of the people of Israel. So those 70 people represented the whole of the people of Israel. So just as the 12 apostles represent the 12 tribes of Israel, so the 70 represents the whole of the people of God. This means and applies to you. Secondly, it also appeared that at that time they thought there were 70 nations in the world. Full stop. So, all of us are sent into all of the world to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. There's no skip on this, it gets worse as we go on, just warning you. Okay? You'll notice, though, that he sent them out two by two. Again, we do nothing on our own. We need each other. We work with one another. We spur one another on. And he sent them ahead of him to every place that he was about to go. That seems strange to me when I first read it, because you assume that Christ goes there before you, don't you? But that's our way of thinking now that Christ is risen and comes by his Holy Spirit. But for them, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to the cross. The previous chapter, he sets his face like flint towards Jerusalem. So on his way to Jerusalem from the Nazareth area, he will pass through these towns where he is sending the 70. And they'll prepare the way. They'll soften the ground so that when Jesus passes through, no doubt he'll stop to preach and to heal the disciples who prepared the way for him. And you know, that's still similar to work today. There is some work that only Jesus can do. He's the one who touches people's hearts. He's the one who convicts and convinces people of their sinfulness and his righteousness and their need for him. He's the one who does the saving. He's the one who reaps. But there's work to be done before the reaping. The ground needs to be prepared. The seed needs to be sown. It needs to be watered and weeded and all that kind of stuff. And that's our task together. To prepare the way for Jesus. Verse 2 says, he is the Lord of the harvest. And the harvest is great. There are many souls to be saved out there. You know that. But the workers are few. So Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask him to send out workers. And you think, great idea. Lord, send somebody else. But it's not the way. We're the answer to our own prayer. He sends us all. This is our calling. This is our mission. All of us into all of the world. The first word in verse 3, and I stressed it over when I read it, is simply go. It's got to be the shortest sentence, doesn't it? Now I think of it. But the shortest verse, shortest sentence. Go. There is no escape from this. This is our task. This is our mission. This is the love and good deeds that we're called to do to people beyond the scope of this church, beyond the scope, beyond the reach, beyond where we are today. Now, some of us might be called to go overseas. John, Charlotte, John Paula, previous years, others, you know. Well, did I say Charlotte? That's the Paula. It is the Charlotte. It's the Paula as well.
It was fine.
John Sharp, you know, we'll be going overseas to Uganda with Zach and with Jude, and the commissioning service is August 11th. We will commission them. We will send them out. We will support them. We will encourage them. We will spur them on, hopefully, for the 3 years or more that they're there. That is our task, to support them, to encourage them. But it's not really the focus here. This is about, for all of us, this is about Albert Street. This is about Victoria Street and Edward Street. This is about the Cape. This is about the Blackmores. And more than that, this is about JLR, which about half of you work in, it seems to me. This is about Warwick Hospital, where some of us work from time to time. This is about the school that you teach in helping or you studying. This is wherever you are this time tomorrow. Because wherever you are this time tomorrow is a mission field, and you are the mission. I just pick up the bones in this passage. Let me tell you, it's going to be tough. You go out like lambs among wolves. And that's why perhaps we're going two by two. And remember, as lambs, the Lord is your shepherd. He has a big stick to beat off those wolves. You will be safe in his hands as you go in his name. Therefore, we need to be focused and single-minded. You know, no clutter, don't take a purse or sandals or whatever. You don't need that sort of stuff. Just go. And don't greet people, it says here. You think, what? Well, what he's saying is, don't waste time in idle chatter. You know, in that culture then, the culture in Malawi, which John and I went to a few weeks ago, you meet people and it's like, oh, how are you? It's lovely to meet you, I think, yes. And that's lovely to meet you. So I've grown well to our village. Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be in our village. Our policeman is like, oh, thank you very much. He said, oh, sorry. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be in your village. I'm glad to be in your home. Please come to you. And you spend 5 minutes with every person before you get down to business. It's lovely, but it's chatter. We need to be focused on sharing the gospel. We need to trust that the Lord will provide. Do you know, eat what's given you. Don't move from house to house. The Lord will provide for us. John and Charlotte have seen something of this, I believe, in the money that's been raised already to support you. I'm sure you'll tell us more about this. And we'll have that support too. And we need to be forthright and urgent. You know, we bless peace on people and proclaim the kingdom of God to people. And we wait for a response. And I mean, they say, if you buy, then you get what you buy. If they say, what do you need? Then you develop the influence. So, God has brought us together, salt is the church, brothers and sisters in Christ. On this day, this time in the church's history, we are his people. At his time, in his place, to do his work in this community and the communities that you go to day by day. And it's brought us together to encourage one another and to spur one another on in that work, in this chief task of spreading the kingdom of God, to proclaim the kingdom of God, the good news about Jesus Christ in this community and in the communities you'll be in this time tomorrow and throughout the world. And all of us are workers in the harvest field, preparing the way for Jesus. Have you got the message of hope? So here's a plan. Oh, that word, plan. Before we go home this morning, don't be shy. Ask the TTT question of somebody. Where will you be this time tomorrow? And then encourage that person. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Spur one another on to ways of bringing the kingdom of God into that situation and maybe witnessing about Jesus. And then next week, follow. Let's wait to practice what the Lord is saying to you. There's a real challenge here for us. What have we learned many times before? What would we know intrinsically in the hearts and lives of what we stand for as a church, which is to evangelize, to be Lord's missionaries for your word and your kingdom into the world in which we live. And Lord, we hear that challenge. And Lord, if we're honest, it's daunting, and sometimes it phases us and makes us fearful. So Lord, we thank you for the other side of this message this morning. Lord, that you don't expect us to do this on our own. But Lord, you've given us each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, to lean on, to encourage one another, and to spur one another on to action in that mission field. But help us not to leave here this morning, Lord, with it having gone in one ear and out of the other. Lord, help it register, this message register, that we will be those brothers and sisters to encourage and spur on one another, and at the same time be those missionaries who pave the way for you to do your work in this world. Well, that's why the songs a bit. Wasn't that easy, I have to say. I probably haven't succeeded completely, but I love this song. So, there's a sound of singing in our midst that tries to bring together this sense of belonging here and the joy we feel about belonging here. And in the second verse also then offers, this is a chance to offer, to serve the Lord. All our debts. Let's dance. Sound singing.